Because that was a good one, y'all. Yeah, that's my name. Don't wear it out, everybody. Welcome, everyone, to Crown Point Church. Thank you all for being here. It's going to be a great Sunday. As you've heard, my name is Nick Rowland. I'm the student ministries pastor at Crown Point Church. And it is my honor to get to be here today preaching. I love it. I don't take it for granted. So huge thank you to our lead pastor, Pastor Dennis, for trusting me with doing this. I do not take it for granted. So it's going to be a great morning. We have been in the middle of a series here at Crown Point Church called God's Outrageous Claims. And what we've been doing is we've been going through several different claims from a book entitled God's Outrageous Claims. And it's by a man named Lee Strobel. If you have not heard about Lee Strobel and his testimony, I can't encourage you enough to look it up. It is an amazing story of an atheist discovering the Lord and becoming a huge advocate for Christianity. It's a very powerful story. But in this book, he makes several different claims about being a Christian that are super powerful, super inspiring, and super challenging for us all. And today we have a topic that, whether we like to admit it or not, is something that each and every single person, if we were to drop our ego, if we were to drop our guard, if we were to drop our barriers and letting people see our emotions, this is something that every single person in some way, shape, or form deals with. Now, it wouldn't be, this is going to be such a Nick Rowland introduction here. If we've ever talked in life, there is a very high percentage that we have talked about music at some capacity in some way, shape, or form. If I've ever talked to you, then I have probably asked you, who's your favorite music artist? Or I've probably asked you, like, what's your favorite song? Or, like, have you ever been to a concert or whatever? Because, like, that's my jam. Obviously, like, guitar is my bread and butter and stuff. And music especially is something that I love. I love talking about. I love playing. I love listening to it. So music is something that I talk about quite a lot. And I love all types of music, but if I had to narrow down like my favorite types of music, my favorite genre, my favorite era of music, it is 90s alternative rock, 90s grunge, 90s, just 90s rock music, pure Generation X angst. Well, it's okay, because we all have our skeletons in our closet, but man, that stuff's my bread and butter, and I love it. So, like, man, bands like the Smashing Pumpkins, ooh, come on. Bands like Radiohead, yeah. Bands like REM, Bands like Oasis, come on now. And I know a few people are amening to that. Some people maybe not. But, man, some great bands, some great music came out in the 90s. Really great music. But if you look at the lyrics, if you look at the themes of this music, of grunge music, of rock music in the 90s, it's really dark, and it's really depressing, and it's really scary, because it is just, it is the cornerstone of Generation X, where we just want to watch the world burn, and we don't have any hope in anything, and anything like that. So if you look at like these lyrics to all these bands, it's super dark, it's super depressing, and it's super, you feel their frustration in life. And usually they're talking about some pretty rough things. They're talking about like drug addiction and how much of a struggle that is. They're talking about self-hatred. They're talking about like these really dark subjects and these really serious issues that weigh a person down. And if we examine that further, if we look further into like any lyric from this band, from these bands or from this era of music or whatever, all these situations, drug abuse, depression, suicide, anger, it all stems from one common topic, one common emotion, one common sensation, and that is the sensation of loneliness. Being lonely, feeling isolated in this world. And today we're going to talk about loneliness. Loneliness is something, whether you like to admit it or not, you either have, currently are, or will deal with at some point in your life, in some way, shape, or form. And if you feel like this doesn't apply to you today, I want to challenge you to let your guard down a little bit today and to open up your emotions and open up what you're feeling, because this probably applies to you way more than you think and way more than you want to admit. If this is something that we struggle with, if this is something that you are struggling with, if you are dealing with loneliness, if you're going through a lonely season, the Lord sees you and the Lord wants to help you through this season that you are going through. When we talk about big problems in church, we are very quick to admit either in our small group or either like in a big congregation or whatever, we're so quick to admit like these big problems in church, whether it's like you're dealing with depression, whether it's you're dealing with lust, whether it's you're dealing with financial struggles or family problems or whatever. We're very bold and quick to open up about this struggle, but when it comes to us feeling lonely, no one likes to admit it because we think it's embarrassing, or we think that it's not a big deal, or we think that there's bigger fish to fry in the world of church. But here's the deal. If it's an issue for you, then it's an issue for God in your life. There's different kinds of loneliness. There's different situations where you might feel lonely. And one of these you probably have been acquainted with, or maybe you are acquainted with right now. Maybe you truthfully are just by definition lonely. You don't have enough friends. You don't feel like you have any friends. You don't feel like you have a partner. You feel like you're just living life completely isolated and alone. Maybe you feel lonely in the sense that you have some buddies and you have a group of people, but it's all just surface level. It's like a kiddie pool. There's no depth. There's no seriousness. It's you just crack jokes all the time and there's nothing beyond that. Maybe you have a bunch of acquaintances, a bunch of buddies, and you can have a good time with, but they're not builders in your life. They're not going to build you up. Maybe you just feel like such an outsider. You feel like such an offset that you just don't fit in. You feel like you can't find your crowd. You feel like there's no one like you, and you feel like an outcast. There's different kinds of loneliness. And every single one of us deals with something like this. And loneliness isn't isolated to one demographic. Think of the amount of children who come home from school, from elementary or middle school, and say, I just feel like I just don't fit in, or I got left out from a friend group or whatever. I got left out at recess. Think of the amount of teenagers in high school who deal with comparison and isolation and the struggle to express one's feelings and one's emotions, and you feel lonely. Think of the young adults who have no direction in their life. They're in a new environment in their life. They're trying to find a partner. They're trying to find a friend group. They're going through all these changes, and they feel isolated. Single people feel lonely. Married people feel lonely. If you're married in the room, I think it's easy for you to think, for us to think, and keep in mind, I'm not married, so I'm not going to tell you how to live a married life because I know nothing about that. But if you are married, then it is good to have other friends outside of your spouse. It's good to have that friendship. Married people can be lonely. Senior citizens can be lonely. Men can be lonely. Women can be lonely. It's not isolated to one demographic. It is a universal struggle, which is why it needs to be addressed. And here's the thing. Here's why it needs to be addressed. You are not made to live life alone. Amen. You are not made to live life alone. It's normal for you to want companionship. Like if you're struggling with loneliness, that is a natural response to the way that God made you, because you are not made to be alone. You are made for companionship. You are made for a relationship. You're made to be with other people. So loneliness should not be the taboo subject that we make it out to be. And it should not be something that we suppress every single day, because we're made to live life with other people. What's the old saying and how it goes? If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, you go together. The fastest way to inhibit your success, the fastest way to shoot yourself in the foot is to do life completely isolated on your own and think that you have it all good on your own. The best way to live your life and the best way to ensure that you are going to live a successful life with God is to do things with Him and to do things with His people. You want to be successful? Do things with other people.
You have that wish for community. You have that wish to belong because you are created to belong. You are created for community. Wanting fellowship is normal, and it is also biblical. Look at Genesis chapter 2. What does God say about Adam? Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." Now, obviously, God is talking about the sanctity of marriage, right? He's talking about Adam and Eve, marriage, right? And obviously that applies for marriage too, but it also just drives home the point for anyone and everyone, married or unmarried alike, we're not intended to be isolated individuals. This is biblical. And there's a ton of biblical examples of people wanting and thriving in friendships. Jesus had his 12 disciples, but even in the midst of his 12 disciples, he had Peter, James, and John, like his tight-knit crew, the people that he was able to share things with on a deeper level. David and Jonathan, good chums, good friends. Even look at the Godhead. It is a replication of a perfect relationship of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Relationships are normal. Friendships are normal. Companionship is normal. And the reason why it's normal and the reason why it's needed is because God puts people in your life at certain times because he knows that you need those people at those certain times. Hebrews 10:24, it says this, the author of Hebrews writes this, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." I love how it says this, make it a priority to meet together. Make it a priority to have community. Surround yourself with people based around love and based around good works. We are not meant to live life alone. We're built for relationships, and we're called to pursue it. We need relationships. But it's likely, if you are in this room today, then in your pursuit of a relationship, in your pursuit of a community, something went wrong. Something went weary, and something didn't quite work out how you wanted it to. Maybe you got hurt. Maybe you got rejected. Maybe your last friendship ended poorly. Maybe you were in a bad romantic relationship. Maybe just something bad happened and it soured the pot for you, and now you think that you never should, would, or could be in a tight-knit, close, vulnerable community. That's a pretty universal thing too. It's risky to pursue community. It's a hard thing to pursue, but it's needed. You know, maybe you've been hurt in the past. Maybe you've been rejected. Maybe you're just a shy person. I can relate to that. Maybe you feel like you just don't fit in. But here's the reality. You've let these things get in the way. Sure, seeking community is risky. But here's the deal. Seeking community is risky, but staying isolated is deadly. Seeking community is risky, but staying isolated is deadly. Relationships are crucial, and because they are a crucial element to life, there's a chance that you might experience pain. There's a chance that you might experience tension or struggles or rejection or even heartbreak based on your pursuit, based on your desire to be acquainted with friends. But let me tell you something, the risk might be high, but the rewards are even higher. You need to experience the joys of friendship, the wonders of friendship, the blessings of friendship, and these rewards are too important for you not to take a risk in your life. I'm not a parent, so I'm never gonna tell you like how to parent because I'm not a parent and I know nothing about that. So, but I'll just keep my money where my mouth is, I guess. But here's the deal. There's this, here I am gonna do it anyway. Here's the trend that everyone has seen with parents, and parents, don't get offended. I'm just a dumb 23-year-old, so you know. But there's a big trend that I've seen called helicopter parenting, where back then it was just like did you guys ever watch The Sandlot? like
like the mom is just like, go get into trouble, go fight that big dog, go cause trouble at the pool or whatever. That era is gone, right? No longer are we in the era where we're like, leave the house, go get into trouble. Now we're in the era of like, oh, my baby boy, I need you so close or else the big dog, the beast is gonna get you. I mean, the Sandlot would be non-existent right now, right? I hope you've seen the Sandlot. If you haven't, that probably sounds really weird. But helicopter parenting, what is it? It's constantly monitoring your kid. It's constantly having watchful eyes over your kid, which, I mean, that's a good thing. Monitor what your kids are watching and doing. Watch over your kids. Make sure they're safe. But helicopter parenting takes it too far because not only are you protecting your kids from the danger, you are blocking their opportunity to take a risk and to experience life. You're blocking their opportunity to gain experiences that are going to teach them about the world. You know the saying that experience is the best teacher? By being a helicopter parent, you are blocking your kid off from experiencing the life lessons that we all need to go through. And time again, research after research, it just shows that if you block the kid off from the world and helicopter them the whole time, it does not turn out well for that kid. How many of us helicopter parent our own hearts when it comes to relationships? You've had one bad experience in your life. You've had one bad run-in with some friends. You had one bad relationship. You had one bad community experience, and then you just shut off the world from you. And you helicopter parent yourself. And you say, you know what? I think I'll feel a whole lot better if I just don't have friends anymore. I think I'll feel a whole lot better if I don't engage in community anymore. I think I'll feel a whole lot better if I'm just not vulnerable anymore. And let me tell you something, you will never see the benefits of community that God wants you to have if you continue to shut yourself off from the opportunity to engage in community. We get so weighed down by the risk and the scary elements that we don't even pursue it. We have these insecure thoughts. We think, what will they think of me? What if I come across as awkward? What if they're so much better at me than what I am? They're in such a different phase of life. They're so much older. They're so much younger. Oh, I'm not good enough. And we let these control our desire to engage in community. Sometimes it's the other way around too. Sometimes it's ego. They don't think like I do. I'm way smarter than them. I'm on a different level than them. I've got way more experience than them. They got a lot to learn, and I'm not going to help them out. These teenagers, they don't know the real world. If you have this mentality, then I'm sorry, but have fun never being liked by anyone ever. You know? Am I wrong, though? You know, we laugh, but real. Why is isolation so dangerous? Look at this quote by C.S. Lewis. This cuts deep. This is so good. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping your heart intact, you must give it to no one. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, and irredeemable. C.S. Lewis, what a wordsmith. What a genius of the faith. If you don't let anyone come into your life and choose to live life as a hermit, as someone who just is isolated from the world, who's going to be there to help you out of the hole that you dug yourself? We can't helicopter parent our own hearts. The risk is great. Friendships are awkward. Friendships are messy. Friendships are scary. But the reward is so great too. There's so many benefits. Think of the fun that you can have. Think of the laughter that you can have. Think of the sense of belonging that you can have. Think of the mourning that you can have with each other. Think of the blessing that you can have with each other. Think of the encouragement. Think of the sharpening that you can have with one another. You need this. You need this. It's too big of a risk for you not to have this. And my challenge for you, if you struggle with this, if you're battling with loneliness and you feel like you're just done pursuing and you're ready to live life completely isolated, my challenge to you with this, be intentional about building relationships.
Be intentional about embracing community and building your community. We need to be intentional if we want to find the benefits of engaging in community. And if it's intentional, it takes effort. If it's intentional, it takes stepping out. I was talking with a few friends of mine. None in this room, so I don't want to embarrass anyone. I was talking to some like young adult guys, and they were talking about how much they wanted to get married. And I'm like, you know, real, I get it. But they had this mentality that they were sharing. They were sharing, if I just pray hard enough, then God's going to give my wife right to me. I won't have to move anywhere. I won't have to step anywhere. I won't have to make the first move. I won't have to talk to anyone because God's just going to give me my future wife. All I have to do is just pray about it and be faithful to it. I'm like, okay, I understand what you're saying there, but here's the deal. You're going to have to take a step, right? You're going to have to make the first move. You're going to have to go up to your future wife and say, hello, awkwardly. And then your palms are sweaty or whatever. I understand what he's saying, but here's the deal. It takes move. It takes you being a little bit bold. It takes some intentionality to introduce yourself, to spark that conversation, and then maybe, just maybe, go on a date. And then maybe, just maybe, marry that person. It's not just going to happen if you just sit around twiddling your thumbs. Community isn't just going to happen if you just sit around twiddling your thumbs and you saying, I wish I had community. Your loneliness won't fade if you just sit around and say, I wish I wasn't lonely. It takes effort, and it takes boldness, and it takes you just being willing to step out of your comfort zone. The benefits and the future that God has in store for you are beyond your comfort zone, because if everything was comfortable, then anyone would do it. And we're called to be set apart people, and part of being set apart people is getting uncomfortable. If you want community, then you have to be intentional about it. My challenge for y'all, be intentional. How do you do this? Let's get some starters out of the way. Shake people's hand. Introduce yourselves. Say hi to someone that no one is talking to. That's a goal, that's a layup, dude. Call you Michael Jordan. Get here slightly earlier than 10:05 and don't leave here as soon as we say amen. And don't complain that you don't have any friends. Get phone numbers. Follow people on social media. Be that Facebook friend. Ask good questions. Be yourself. This is just basic stuff, people. But even if you're just bold with the basics, you're gonna go pretty far. If you're struggling with loneliness, I can't encourage you enough and I can't stress you enough, be bold. My life changed, my young adult life changed when I stopped caring so much about what people thought of me or what people thought of the way I talk or what people thought of the way I behaved or my mannerisms. My life changed when I dropped what I thought about people perceived of myself, and I just was saying, and I just let the Lord move through me and say, you know what, Lord, I'm just gonna talk. I'm just going to make conversation. I'm just going to be myself and be natural and talk about the things that you lead me to talk to. And because I was willing to let my guard down, because I was willing to be bold, because I was willing to be intentional, the Lord has blessed me. And just how like the Lord can break and mold a shy Nick Rowland who didn't talk to anybody, he can do the same with you too. It takes intentionality. Okay, so we need people. You need people. You need community. We've established that. And I need to be bold, okay? So what do I look for? What do I look for? What does an ideal community, what does an ideal friendship, what does an ideal relationship or bond look like? I'm glad you asked. Because I have a few things for you. I have the five A's of rich and real friendships. We're gonna do a bit of cooking today. We got a recipe for y'all. So we got five A's that you need to stir in your pot if you wanna make a nice roast of community. That's stupid. But let's move on. First thing you need to look for in a good relationship, a good community, affinity. What do I mean by affinity? there needs to be a bond. Like, so like when we talk about affinity, it's like a chemistry term. It's the force, I think. I didn't do too well in chemistry in high school. But if I'm correct, it's the thing that bonds atoms together. It's the thing that ties them together. It's a commonality or a relationship or a strength between the two that combines them together. And if you want to be in a relationship with someone, if you want to be in community with someone, then you need to like someone. And they need to like you back. There needs to be a commonality. I want to give you a bit of a newsflash. And I know I'm talking about relationships and I'm challenging you a lot today. It's okay to not get along with everyone. Because you're not going to. I mean, I know a lot of people I don't get along with. But that's fine. And it's not an excuse to be disrespectful. And it's not an excuse to be rude. And it's not an excuse to shut people off. But here's the deal. You're just going to click with people that you are like. You know? Friendships are based on commonalities. And what those commonalities are in your friendships is going to determine the depth of your friendship. So if the only commonality in your friendship is how the Lakers did last night, or how the Chiefs are doing, then your relationship is going to go as deep as the Los Angeles Lakers and the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's fine. That's fine. You know, I have a lot of buddies. We're musicians. We jam together. And that's our bond. But if you want something deeper, if you want something more fruitful, then you need to turn your eyes on the endeavors, not of the flesh, but on the endeavors of the Spirit. That's where your relationships should be. That's where your friendships should be. Because when it's about that level of spirituality, about your relationship with Jesus, then it's going to be that much more of a foundation for you in your friendship. I love this quote. The quality of a friendship is nearly always determined by the quality of that which unites us. Again, surface level is good. Sports, activities, similar phases of life. Like if you're a married couple, I can't encourage you enough. Make friends with other married couples. Some of the coolest friendships that I've seen in my life growing up watching adults is two married couples just bonding and sharing life with each other. But if you want to go the extra mile, then make it deeper. Talk about what Jesus is doing in your life. Talk about what the experiences you've had with Jesus. That's what drives your foundation forward. Second A, we need acceptance. We are called to accept people into community. We're called to be accepting people. Let me give this little asterisk. This is not woke teaching. This is not non-biblical teaching. This is not promoting sinful lifestyle. This is not making excuses for sin. But here's the reality. Jesus invited you to the table unconditionally. Why should you treat people any different? If we are to base our relationships on the sins of others, how is that Christ-like? You can't expect, and here's the reality. With sinful people, with things that need work on, we think that if we keep them at an arm's distance, then that's magically going to work. You're not going to change someone's life if you keep them a mile away. You're not going to change someone's life if you ostracize them. How are you going to change their lives? By having a genuine, heartfelt, godly relationship with them, where you challenge them, where you sharpen them, and where you have real, deep, harsh conversations sometimes. And you're never going to get that. You're never going to be the discipler that God calls you to be if you're not willing to be accepting of people. Ask yourself this. How do you approach friendships? How do you approach relationships? Are you more critical? Are you more judgmental? And therefore effectively pushing people away? Or are you being gracious? And are you being accepting? And are you willing to look beyond someone's flaws and trade those flaws in for development for them? We're called to be accepting people. Third A, authenticity. We're called to be real. We're called to have friendships that are real, that are genuine, that are heartfelt, that are not surface level, cut and dry. A true friendship, a true brother or sister is one that is based on self-disclosure. It's one based on transparency. It's one based on honesty. And it's one based on being vulnerable. There is this masterpiece of a movie called Barbie. And hold on. You don't even know what I'm about to say, so don't discredit me. And the funny thing about like the Barbie movie, or just Barbies in general, or the Kens or whatever, it's just a play on you being a surface level person. Like if you watch this movie, or if you ever watched any like those cartoon Barbie movies or whatever, I didn't, I promise. I'm just kidding, I didn't. What were we talking about? Barbies. The funny thing about those cartoons is like you watch it and it's just superficial versions of these characters of here is girl, here is guy, and there is that their traits are girl and guy and what they do for work or what they study in school. Like I can't tell you the absolute nightmare it is being a freshman in college and trying to make friends, because how many times do you ask someone, what's your major? Are you rushing, or like what are you? What's your major? Or like where are you rooming at? Like that's the extent of the conversation, and it's just like I want to bash my head into a door. We're not meant to live surface level, and we're not meant to live inauthentic lives, and most importantly, we're not meant to have inauthentic relationships. So what do? Hashtag be real. Be real with people. You know who was real? Jesus. You know when he was real? In the Garden of Gethsemane. What did he say? He said, I am filled to the brink with sorrow. You want to talk about being real? Imagine dropping that on your friend group. Be vulnerable. Because when you are vulnerable in your relationships, that's when things really begin to change. You want a challenge? Talk about deep subjects. Ask good questions. Seek advice. When y'all are cracking jokes and when you're all having fun, pop up a little balloon of emotion and of vulnerability and see if they bite. See if they pop it and see if they pursue it. If they don't pursue it, that's fine. That's just the relationship that's been built. You can find a deeper level somewhere else. But if they do pop it and they say, let's talk about that, or hey, are you doing okay? Hey, how is life going? Then the sky is the limit. Because when we are vulnerable people, we begin to change and our relationships begin to change. We need to be authentic people with authentic relationships. Number four, we need assistance. One of the most common themes in the Bible is assisting others, being a servant. I think of like when the apostles went to Jesus and said, okay, Jesus, who's gonna be the greatest? Who's gonna be the GOAT? And what does Jesus say? He says, if you wanna be the greatest in my kingdom, then you have to be the least. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to be a servant. And just like the Son of Man came to be a servant, we are also called to be servants. Be willing to put your friends first. Be willing to bring out the best and sharpen the best friend that you possibly could have. One of the most famous proverbs in scripture, iron sharpens iron, and just as iron sharpens iron, so do friends sharpen friends. What does that look like? It looks like accountability. It looks like challenging people. It looks like calling some things out that might need to be called out, and then make sure you have that relationship with that person. But iron sharpens iron, and you, being a true friend that you are, can have a tough conversation and can sharpen your friends. Love this quote. Give away your friendship and you'll receive friendship in return. Another one of my favorite passages in scripture is if you think you are too important to help someone else, get over yourself. You're not that important. Love that. So good. Why? Because we are called to be assisting people. Dalton, you wanna come up? The final A, affirmation. Be your friend's cheerleader. Now I know guys in the room don't like to be affirming. They don't like to give compliments any time. But if you really want to make a difference in your friendship, you really want to have a special friendship or a special bond in your community, be an affirming person. Friendships are meant to build each other up, to elevate each other, to make each other feel good and confident about where they are in their relationship with God. I've seen so many people who their biggest desire in life is to be acknowledged. Their biggest desire is to have attention. Their biggest desire is to feel good about themselves. And they're so insecure about that, that they let their insecurity guide them more than God does. And instead of being affirming people, they tear people down. They think that if I can't feel good about myself, then I need to make someone else feel worse about themselves, because then it makes me look a little bit better. What an awful way to be a friend. What an awful way to make friends if all you're gonna do is tear people down. Get this, if all you do is critique, then it just shows how insecure you really are. So what's the opposite thing? What's the solution? Don't tear people down. Bring people up. You wanna be the most popular person in church? You wanna be the friend that everyone loves? Then treat your friends like they're the most popular person. Treat your friends like they are the most loved. Treat your friends like they're a celebrity. Treat your friends like they mean the world to you. Because this is honestly a simple life hack. If you're going to treat other people good, then they are going to in turn want to treat you good. Why? Because relationships are supposed to be affirming. They're supposed to be complimentary. They're supposed to be encouraging when we are doing good. What might happen if instead of you just tearing down your friends and making little snide comments and being so quick to judge others and to critique others and to effectively destroy the community of Christ, what if instead you put the brakes on, you turned around and you said, you know what? I'm proud of you. You know what? I think you're doing really good in this. You know what? I love you and I appreciate you as a friend. Things might begin to change for you. Things might begin to change in your friend group. We need to get beyond our differences in church and in friendships and go against demographics and stereotypes and our preconceived notions of each other so that we can build up the body of Christ. I'm so sick and tired of young people talking about the older generation like, okay, boomer. Or what can you offer me? Honestly, of the devil. Yeah. What an evil thing to say. Yeah. Now hold on. I'm so sick and tired of older people looking down on the younger generation, the future of the church, and thinking they're completely lost. They're a lost cause. I mean, I had everything when I didn't have all this when I was young. Then why do you feel so insecure to bring it up all the time? If the young people are the future of the church, then how about you build up the future of the church? Amen. We need to get across these barriers. We need to break down these demographics and these stereotypes of one another, because if you want to change the future of the church, then you need to be an affirming church. I love this. Don't assume that your friends know how you feel about them. I think like when you're with buddies or when you're with your spouse or when you're with friends, you just kind of arrive at this conclusion that they know how I feel about them. They know how much I love them. They know how much I care about them. Maybe they don't. Maybe they think you hate them. Maybe they have no idea how much of the world that you mean to them. Don't miss that opportunity to build each other up, because you will not regret it. Those are the five A's. Recipe for rich and real friendships. Okay, Nick. Pastor Nick. Pastor Nicholas. I know what I need. You've told me that. You've said it a lot. But I still just can't get myself to find this community. I feel lost. I feel like I can't find my people. I feel like I can't be open to anyone. I feel like I'm just tucking down my emotions and my struggles deep down, and I have no outlet, no true friends, no deep connections. It's a hard place to be. But you don't have to stay in that place. And you don't have to stay in that struggle. You can break through, but it's gonna require something on your part. Breakthroughs in your friendships require your boldness. You can have that breakthrough. You can have that community. You can have that friendship. That loneliness in your life can be eliminated completely, but it's not gonna happen organically. You have to be a little bit bold. And if you are a little bit bold, the Lord's gonna do some really cool things through your boldness. I remember like when we started coming to this church when I was around seventh grade, and I didn't talk to anyone. I couldn't look people in the eye. I was so scared of people. I was scared to talk. And like, if you ask David North, I don't know if he's here today. David, hi buddy. Good to see you. My friend David North, he'll tell you this. I didn't really talk ever. And it took a lot of prying for me to get out. Oh, that was a jump scare. There I am. Normal me. Oh, that's not, well, okay, well, yeah, so let's just get into it. So I was shy, and I didn't talk to anyone, and I was awkward, and I didn't have many friends. But I came to youth group regardless. I decided to challenge myself, and I just started to show up. And that summer, we had a missions trip to Nicaragua, and 12-year-old me had just this random desire to be bold. I said, you know what? I'm tired of not having any friends. I'm tired of not having any community. I'm tired of not living the life that God has called me to live. So I decided to be bold. And I went on a missions trip, thousands of miles away with no friends, no parents. I was like 12 years old at the time. So that's scary in itself. But I went. And on that trip, I had my life changed. I had a gained sense of boldness. I had a gained sense of direction. I had a gained sense of confidence. I made friends. I made relationships that I've lasted for a lifetime. I've made connections. And the Lord seriously, seriously blessed me because I was able to be a little bold. And if it wasn't for that trip, if it wasn't for me just getting over myself and being a little bit bold, I wouldn't be where I am today. Can I tell you something today? God has really cool plans in store for you. God has really cool people for you to meet. God has really cool friendships for you to form and to grow and to be grown by. But it's not gonna happen if you aren't willing to be just a little bit bold today. Loneliness doesn't have to be a reality for you. But it is going to require a little bit of work, and it's going to require a little bit of challenging. I think back to the book of Joshua, where Joshua is leading the Israelites into the land of Canaan, and they're about to enter into a series of battles, probably really scary, probably really intimidating, especially Jericho, one of the strongest fortresses in the land. What a terrifying thing to do, but they knew they had to do it. What does the Lord say to them? Joshua 1:9, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Maybe you find yourself in a situation like the Israelites, where maybe you're not facing a physical battle, but you're facing a social battle. You're facing the walls of Jericho in your life, and the walls of Jericho are maybe your shyness, maybe it's your loneliness, maybe it's you feeling like you can't open up to anybody. Whatever your battle is, I want you to know that you have the power of the Almighty God on your life to not just be a citizen of Israel, to be like the Israelites, but to be a battle winner, to be a battle conqueror. How is that gonna happen? If you just be a little bit bold and make the first move and engage in community. What are the walls in Jericho in your life? You want friendship? You want relationship, you want community, you want good, solid bonds, then have a little boldness to break down the Jericho walls in your life. Make the first move, step out, say hello, don't leave right away. Get that number, add that person on Facebook. Make those connections, be bold. Let's all bow our heads. Loneliness is a real struggle. It's a serious struggle.
And every single person deals with it. And maybe you're in the room today and you're saying, you know what? That's me. I'm in a lonely season. Maybe you feel like you don't have enough friends. Maybe you feel like you don't have any friends or any community. Maybe today you're thinking, you know what? I have a good group of buddies. I have a good group of friends, but it's all surface level. I feel like I can't open up to them. Or maybe there's just something missing in your life and you're saying, you know what? There's got to be more to this. I need that iron that's going to sharpen me. I need that friend that's going to bear my burdens. I need that friend who I'm going to lift them up and they're going to lift me up. If that's you today, you're over the loneliness and you're ready to embrace full community and be bold and step in to the friendships and relationships that God has for you. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Okay. Maybe you're here today and this Jesus that we talk about, that we preach about, that we praise, maybe it's a foreign thing to you. Maybe you don't know it. But maybe today he's speaking to you and he's saying, you know what? Or he's saying, I'm here. I'm ready for you to come back. And maybe you're thinking, you know what? I'm ready to start following Jesus again. Or I'm ready to begin following Jesus for the first time. If that's you, would you be bold and raise your hand? All right, we can all stand. Prayer team, if you wouldn't mind coming forward, we're gonna have an opportunity to pray. And I wanna encourage you with this. If something I said resonated with you, or you need prayer for anything, maybe it's something I said, or maybe I did, or something I didn't say, seek the prayer that you need. But here's my real challenge for you. Here's my real altar call. You're done with the loneliness. You're done with the isolation in your life. Then don't just leave out those doors and then come back next week and complain about it. Say hi to someone. Shake someone's hand. Get a new name. Make a new friendship. Because if you are a little bit bold, God's gonna do some really cool things. Let's pray. Father God, we love you, Lord Jesus. God, we're so grateful for the gift and the blessing that is community, Lord God. I just pray, Lord God, that over every person in this room, Lord God, whether they have a ton of friends, whether they have no friends, whether whatever demographic or age or lifestyle they find themselves in, Lord God, God, may you bestow upon them the desire and the boldness to engage in community, Lord God. God, you tell us we're not meant to live life alone, Lord God. So may we allow that to happen, Lord God. May we not live life alone. May we be willing to be bold to take the first step, to say hello, to shake a hand, to memorize a name, to get over our ego and our own insecurity for your benefit, for our benefit, and for our friends' benefit, Lord God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. May you lay your hand of provision and protection upon everyone today. And may we all, Lord God, continue to run our race with you, Lord Jesus. May we all continue to love you and to live life for you, Lord God. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. And in your name we pray, amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you can be dismissed. Thank you all for being here. Make a friend, talk to some people. Be the church that Jesus wants it to be. Thank you, everybody.